Luke chapter 1, verse 66.
Ooh, sprinting here.
And all they that heard laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Heard means not just to perceive, but to understand. And you perceive and understand the sense of what was said. And it's talking about who this John the Baptist would be. And the reason it was so understood so quickly is because of this. It was entering the time of the 70 weeks of Daniel, when all expectation was about both Elijah and then the Messiah, which would come. So everybody was looking for him. Laid them up, all that heard them, laid them up in their hearts. It's tethame, but it's an interesting word, and we're going to spend a minute on it. Let's see how it's translated elsewhere. Let's go to Luke 9. This is where Jesus delivered the demon-possessed. And then verse 43 it says, And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all these things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings, but what sayings? The sayings in verse 41. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son here. And these sayings sink down into your heart, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And that laid them up is the same word. It says sink down into your heart. Let them be a reality of that this is a faithless and perverse generation, including us. That's why we must see our death. All right, let's go to Luke 6. We're going backwards a minute. In honor of Ronnie. We're going backwards in honor of Ronnie. Verse 46. Well, let's go to 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream bent vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now it's used, this laid up is used twice there. One is he digged deep, and the other is laid the foundation. So make sure that whatever it is you believe is laid on the foundation. Now what that means, the only way we can do that, we can talk about it, but the only way we can do it is to not give breath to anything that changes with time. It has, and remember, give breath means love. So everything in time and space changes with time. And so nothing in time and space is to be loved. Do you understand that? and you laid these things up, you've dug deep and set that which is the real you, see that it's on that rock that changes not with time. What do you give breath to that changes with time? That means that's what you love. Right? What?
The way this hit a chord in me is, it doesn't matter what religion, doctrine you enter into, if your heart is seeking ultimate truth, you dig and you come to that rock. That's where you'll end up if you have an integrity. And it's like that's what's important, not that.
Yeah, what goes on outwardly is meaningless.
Yeah, so if you're a Church of Christ or Buddhist or whatever it is, if you're a truth seeker, ultimately you encounter Christ.
The problem is, man knows not the meaning of truth. We have developed a subjective truth. Well, that's true. That's your truth. No, you can't have a subjective truth. It's like you can't have any private interpretation of Scripture.
Yeah, that's the non-integrity
right.
Direction.
All right, Luke 14. Verse 25. Now this is to you and I and everyone. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And so whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold should it begin to mock him. Now, again here, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, laid the foundation is this word, tethemi. It's again the basis of what it is that you, what is the core of your being if it's not Jesus Christ. And if you're giving, if you remember the word love, not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The word there is world for ion. It means the, whatever the word is, zeitgeist. And is that close?
Zeitgeist.
She knows.
I'll go with the German. Zeitgeist.
The spirit of the age. It's no matter what age you're living in, it has a spirit or a society. Whatever it is, none of it is right. Got it?
What is the spirit of this age?
Well, it depends on the culture.
So it varies.
Yeah, it's whatever is going on. The fundamental spirit of this age, probably more than any other age, is self-realization.
Yeah.
And that I mean, that's the ultimate evil. All right, one more. Luke 21. He's warning his disciples. In verse 12, he said, Before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now, settle it is this word again, tethemi. Lay it up in your heart, not to ever think about what you're going to say next.
Think hard about what not to say.
You settle it once and for all.
Settle it.
Amen.
That's the point of the foundation. It's laid. You don't have to relay it.
Let's go to one more verse, Romans 9. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion, a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The word lay is this word tethemi. So make sure the foundation is laid, and you better believe it's going to be a rock of offense first to you and then everyone to whom you speak of it. Because all men have betrayed him. Amen? All right. Lay them up in your hearts. Back to Luke. Heart is just cardia. It means the heart, but it also means the innermost life, and it also means the innermost parts of anything.
Luke, what chapter?
One, where we've been for 3 or 4 weeks. Chapter 1, verse 66. What manner of child should this be? In the hand of the Lord was upon him. It's a metaphor for the power of God. That's what that means. The hand of the Lord. And there's a bunch of places where it's used, but we're not going to go there. Now in verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. Remember, they hadn't had a prophet in 400 years. First, and we've seen it three times thus far. But anyway, but it was always either about Jesus or about the family of Zechariah and then John the Baptist. So Zechariah now is filled with the Spirit. I'm afraid I'm going to offend some people with charismatic backgrounds here. The word filled is the word pamplami. And it's only used in persons. It's used of persons and with the Holy Spirit only in Luke. But the word pamplami, it's to be filled with emotions, to be filled with wrath, to be filled with fear, to be filled with madness, to be filled with wonder, to be filled with jealousy. And so the point of it is, just as if you get mad for an instant, you're not filled with anger for the rest of your life, so when you have an experience with the Holy Spirit, it must be immediately given away. If you say that you have the gift of the Spirit as your ministry in any way, whether it's healing or anointing or deliverance or anything, then automatically you have polluted it because you have taken it into yourself.
It's like my personal Holy Spirit,
right? And it just becomes your identity, and you see the evil of that. And yet we have a whole charismatic movement sweeping the world. Gary knows a lot about this. Just as you can't hold your breath more than just a relatively short time, you certainly can't. If you think you are keeping the Holy Spirit, you have polluted it. Understand? Well, this is important. So, let's just go through it in Luke. We'll go in order. Let's go to Luke 1 again, in verse 15 first. It's talking about John the Baptist, the angel prophesying about him. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
There's a little thing going on here where filled with the Holy Ghost, even from the womb, implying he is filled with the Holy Spirit. The difference would be if you, as a person, then say, I am filled with the Holy Spirit, if you take it to self, that's when it's nullified.
Or if this is a, you can see it all over the place. This is a Spirit-filled church. I promise you, Any person or any church that either says or thinks that they are spirit filled, they've polluted it.
But does that mean they can't be if they don't say it? There's something, there's a fine point here.
It's not a fine point. It's a bright shining light. That doesn't come into your verbiage.
Comes into your verbiage when it's
no, or if you think it is, the verbiage in word or thought.
Yeah, so the essence is in your emptiness. You might be filled by God's grace, but the minute you take it to self, it pollutes it and becomes something else. Yeah, the minute you identify yourself as a spirit-filled.
Let's go to John 16. Now listen carefully to these words, where Jesus is describing what the Holy Spirit does. Everybody there? Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, the Comforter is the Paraclete, which means to lie alongside or to. That's literally what it means. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin. Not because of what they do. They are already sin. He'll reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me, is what it says. Now, here, this isn't a mental assent. You believe on him in that you live, every second of your life is in total dependence on him. There's never again a movement towards your mind of a solution. Because once your mind enters into it, then that has polluted it. And you believe not on him. You got it? Anybody doubt that? Chapter 16, John 16. Okay, everybody got that? When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, or my Father, and you see me no more. The only righteousness there is in the world is that he's gone to the Father. That is the definition of righteousness. And of judgment, will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of judgment. Why? Of judgment because the prince of the world is already judged. Now that's a, those three, that's huge. What?
Covers everything.
All right, now watch. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, or of what's mine, and shall show it unto you. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to show you the stupidity of everything that doesn't meet the test of truth, to reveal to you daily more of him who he is speaking of. If he is speaking of anything else, you've missed the point. It's either all Jesus or none Jesus. You're either in faith or out of faith. There's no in between. You're either of the whore or of the bride. No in between. You are either a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy. There's no in between. Now, the mystery of all of this is repentance. The moment by preaching or exhortation or by the Spirit revealing it to you or someone else, and you see, you see that you are not in that moment of faith, that you've left it in order to accomplish something, then repentance better be your only response. Father, forgive me. There's no excuse for anything else. And until that repentance is total, you know, it's still. And what that means, repentance means, in terms of these issues, that you are always in a position of waiting on the Father. Anybody understand that? There's no in between. And if you continue in sin that grace may abound, God forbid. Well, I'm going to continue doing this until God shows me different. God has shown you different. Anybody doubt this? This isn't a philosophy. Because the mystery of all this is unless you wait on him for everything, you will never know for a certainty that he is in you. It'll just be a philosophy. And God isn't too fond of philosophies. Anybody have any response to this?
It's not like, yeah, I waited on him once and he came through and that was cool. It's like that's not it. You don't, your life is waiting on him.
Are there any exceptions to this? Whose was that?
Oh, somebody left a message.
Yeah, it was my heart. Rang my bell.
All right, back to Luke. Now, let's look at it in Acts now, because that's the book of Luke and the book of Acts were originally two volumes of the same book. So now we're going to Acts, chapter 2. famous charismatic scripture that's constantly used. When the day of Pentecost was fully come or was fulfilled, they were all with one accord in one place. And where they were is in the temple, right near the column of Boaz. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And this is the word house there. It's filled the temple. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now did they then continue to... They were inspired, and they spoke in all of the tongues of those present, which was a mind-bending miracle. So all of those present in the temple were without excuse, because each one heard the mystery in his own tongue. Now, does that mean somebody's supposed to lay hands on you and you're supposed to try to just let your tongue go? Blah, blah, buddy, bee, dee, bee, bah, somebody bought my Honda. No. But the Holy Spirit is there whenever you empty. But he's polluted, for the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. In other words, they're there, but you misuse them all the time. Anybody, you understand that? The minute it's kept, it's polluted. The minute there isn't 100% emptiness, it's polluted. Let this sink into your hearts.
This is not an injunction to not speak for fear you might pollute.
This is an exhortation to stop the craziness. To not to speak what?
Whatever is in you.
No, that's the prophesying, remember?
Yeah. Okay.
But what you prophesy may be just crap. And that's why each of us have to exhort one another. But if you are fearful and sit back and don't say anything because, everybody said that before, I don't know what I'm going to do, or blah, blah, blah. If it's there, you speak it. And then it will be tested by the body. That's probably a good place to stop. Anybody have any response to any of this? Gary, you look troubled.
This is a very delicate point because... heard correctly, then people just shut up. They don't want to be a fool. They don't want to speak and be chastised. Well,
they shut up before this. So what's the difference?
Well, the exhortation is that don't be prideful. Be a fool. Open your mouth. Let whatever's there out and be willing to be corrected or confirmed, whatever it is.
Amen. That's what I've done for 30-some years, 38 years. I just say what's there. If you haven't seen that in me, then you haven't seen anything in me.
Yeah, I want to see it in everybody else, not you. I mean, you do it all the time, so you're not the issue. It's anybody who hears this that would be inclined to say, it's a real two-edged sword here.
What's venting then? Isn't that venting? Just speaking something that means nothing?
Who are you to judge? That's what it means.
If you know what faith is, and you're speaking of faith, that's not venting.
Remember, there's this great scripture that says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But the word there, deny, you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist.
Right.
And so your mind, is your entire life, acted as a governor. It set itself up in the temple of God, showing itself its God, because it decides whether or not what they're going to speak is good or bad.
So you don't know if you're in faith?
We have nothing to do with faith. This is talking to you, because you just say, but you don't want to sit there and vent.
If I know I'm not speaking in faith.
When are you ever speaking in faith? To speak in faith means that you just let everything out. It's God's business.
You can always repent.
The Jesus' first name is Yesh in Hebrew. Yesh means the breaking of this dam. Now you've built this dam your whole life. And there's all kinds of dead elephants and rats and snakes that are in there. But you've got to break the dam so that out of you will flow rivers of living water. So you no longer sit in the temple showing yourself that you're God, because you judge what you're saying is right or wrong.
Where does it say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything?
In the scriptures?
Well, that's on page.
Lord, I'm glad Wade's back.
Now, God, that's right along the lines of God helps those that help themselves. I'm just going to sit here until I know that what I'm speaking is speaking in faith, or whatever you said. You only know that by exercising it.
Yeah, and that's a protective position. I'll speak when I know it's faith, and then I won't be an idiot.
I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak when I know it's true.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, that's your mind defining. You're using then your mind, which is cursed, to speak of that which is blessed. It's yes, it's bubbling forth, whatever is there. That's what you got to remember. Jesus said, if you think it, you've done it. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you shall say. Take no thought for anything. Alrighty, I pray that you lay these things in your heart and that you begin to prophesy, which is the next verse. Oh, I can't prophesy because I don't have the gift of prophecy. Everybody has the gift of prophecy, because prophecy just means saying what's there. And it's the body that judges, and the scriptures, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth shall be established. But I can't say that because I don't know it's in the Bible. No, you don't. But what you do know is the only way you're going to break that dam that you've created your whole life is to begin to let it all flow out.
Yeah, it's like this is you're either an angel of light, which is son of Satan, or you're a messenger of God, or you're empty and his servant.
Now, the one caveat for this is don't be a teacher. It says, I'm determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus.
I have to ask this. You're on the road. Anger comes in your heart. Two, you want to kill somebody. You brought them off the road.
You've already killed them.
So why not just go be saved? Do you go through and do it?
This is going to.
So you don't hold
no,
yourself
No, you say, Father, forgive me.
Why do you say, Father, forgive me?
Because you allowed the anger.
That you were thinking selfishly and evil.
And why do you say, Father, forgive me? I can't believe you said that.
I'm asking you, why would you come to that conclusion?
That I know that I've been angry?
Yes, and that you were wrong for being angry.
Well, because I know this Bible pretty well.
Well, that's good. But I'm just saying.
And why do you know? Why would you not know that if you don't know the Bible? Because you have exercised it in the course of a body where you say what's there all the time, not sitting and hearing a it would have been revealed.
You see the evil of it, right?
And you repent.
And you repent of it, right? So I'm not, but that's not, I don't know.
That's called being.
Let me tell you something, okay?
Being able to see.
Listen. You believe the blood of Christ has forgiven all men their sin?
That's a catch-22 question. Only if they can receive it. Only if they can lay their lives down.
If they can die.
Right.
Because the blood of Christ has nothing to do with Adam.
Right.
It's for you when you're doing all this crap that you do in your mind and you say, Father, forgive me, then you're forgiven by
That's
the
right.
blood of Christ.
Well, only by that.
But you don't sit back and try only to speak of what you have already prejudged in your mind will get you some kind of kudos. Because then you're full of dead men's bones and you've got a whited sepulcher.
Say that last thing. I'm sorry. I missed you. Say that one more time.
Well, what Jesus said. You say you are righteous, but you're full of dead men's bones.
Right.
Because you have stuffed all the stuff that you judged to be evil and not said it. And so there's no exhortation. There's no life. You're just an observer walking 15 yards from the edge of the cliff. Instead of living.
I understand that. What you're saying. Okay.
Am I reading anybody's mail?
Just trying to see what you're saying.
Just sit around and listen to the talk. How much of it is faith? It's just bullshit. Oh, look at the Cowboys did this, and the Rangers did that, and the Mavericks did this, and the weather's going to do this, and blah, 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 blah. And you feel comfortable doing that. Everybody sits around, and small talk is the life. But you're now saying, well, I'm not going to say things because if they're just vetting, you always say things that are vetted, but nobody's there to exhort you.
Venting.
Venting, whatever it is.
Blow out.
All I do is blow out. Don't say it. Don't even think it, Jeff. Think, it's so simple. Don't complicate it by some idiotic perception of your mind. Just be instead of trying to be. He's either in you or he's not. If he's not, you better find out right now instead of betting your life and your what happens to you on some philosophy. That's enough. Take it, big guy.